We would like to welcome Sue Ann and Jeff Keller to worship with us today. We appreciate their coming. I was asked to introduce Jeff, and Jeff and I originally met, most of you won't know this, at the monastery. He was one monk, and I was another monk in a play called Monkey Business. It was very theologically sound. You've got to trust me on that. But that's, I think, where our friendship began, and that's been a couple of years back. Jeff's been sharing a witness, a faithful witness, throughout our community, both in his life and in churches needing pulpit supply. And we welcome him here today, and we pray for God's blessing on your message for us. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is good to be here with you this morning. I've driven by this church many, many years and always wondered what it looked like inside, and so now I have the opportunity to do so. And I've been doing this since 1991 as a pulpit supply. And I think the other day I counted, I've been in like 13 different churches for churches who are without pastors or on vacation. I did a whole year at Antioch Baptist Church. I filled in a whole year at Seton Center Presbyterian Church. And then I've done various Methodist churches in both Iowa and Illinois. I had a friend, when I first started speaking, the very first time I spoke was back in high school. But she says, "Now, Jeff, just remember, you can only keep people's attention for about 10 minutes. And then you start to lose them." Now, I'm going to speak for a little bit longer than 10 minutes, but I am not one that's going to stand up here and speak for forever. I learned that a long time ago, that when I start seeing people do this and start to look through their bulletin, which I do myself sitting out there from time to time, it's time to shut up. So when I first started, I think the first few Sundays that I filled in at different places, I had made up my mind that the money that some churches would give to me, I was going to save up until I had enough money to buy a suit. Because in my mind, you know, when you're up in front of congregations, you're supposed to be wearing a suit and tie. Well, we've come a long ways since then, and that suit no longer fits me. But some of you may recognize me. I used to work at what used to be Country Bank years ago, and now I sell real estate. Then others of you may know our daughter, Abigail Hicks, who was a music teacher here in the Mercer County School District for a few years, and now we have her over in Rockridge. We are from Edgington, and we have two daughters, Abigail, and then our other daughter is Megan. Abigail has three children, ages 9, almost 6, and almost 2. And then Megan, as a single person, has love in her heart for kids, and she decided to become a foster parent. And so now we have a little girl who will be a year the end of this month that Megan is raising, and love her just the same. So, but again, good to be here with you this morning to bring today's message. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come here this morning to share in your word. And as we contemplate on these words, as we listen to these words, may they fill our hearts, fill our minds, so that when we leave here today, we know that we have the Spirit with us and that we're taking it into our communities and sharing it with those who are in need. So, Father, we just ask that your presence be here with us this morning. Listen to these words, and let these words be your words. Let this message be your message. In your name we pray. Amen. So it's not very often that the first time that somebody meets somebody that we bare our souls. But this morning I have a confession to make. I have road rage. And I'm sure that if there was a support group, that my wife would recommend that I attend this support group. But first, let's listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain." And then from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. You're going to find, if I come here, because you got to listen to me today, and then also on February 25th, you have to listen to me. But I'm just a country boy. I grew up down by Illinois City, out in the country, and I come up with life stories first, and then I try to find a scripture that goes and fits that life story. So you're going to hear a lot of my stories and a lot of my soul bearing here. And normally I just talk about myself. Once in a while I'll throw in stories about my family. But for the most part, my stories are me bearing my soul to you. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52 says, "Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus. 'Your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." So along with my road rage, I hate it when I'm following people that are driving too slow, of course. I hate it when I'm on the interstate. You know, we have laws now where we have the passing lane and we have the slow lane. And I hate it when people get parked in that fast lane, that passing lane, and just stay there and don't move, no matter how close I edge up to their bumper. They stay there. The other part I hate is when people are getting ready to merge down onto the interstate. I mean, they have, what, 100 yards? I don't know how long a merge lane is, but they have 100 yards to get merged down on, but they wait till the very... I keep thinking I have to stay in front of this microphone, but I don't. But they wait until the very last second to move from that merge lane over into the other lane of the interstate. Even though I have tried to kind of stay back a little bit to give them room to get in, or I've sped up while they speed up, and they still wait till the very end to move over. I need a support group. Many years ago, when our girls were in elementary and junior high and high school, we had what was called Bible Bowl in the Methodist Church. I grew up in the Illinois City Methodist, but we raised our girls at the Reynolds Methodist Church. And our girls were involved in this Bible Bowl. And Kent Hessman, I don't know how many of you know Kent Hessman, but he was their coach. So every Sunday afternoon they would get together and they would go over all these questions on an assigned scripture for that year. And it got ready this one year for us to go to the competition. Now all the rest of the parents pretty much knew that I hate to follow other vehicles. They always knew that I wanted to be in the lead. So all the other parents just knew that Jeff was going to be the leader. But we had a dad in the group that year that, for whatever reason, he had a problem with me. I have no idea what I ever did to him. But he proceeded to go around to the rest of the group and said that he kind of told them that I was the devil and that he doesn't follow the devil. So they chose to take their own route that year. They ended up being an hour and a half late getting there. Sometimes changing lanes will not always get us to where we're going. The other part that I hate in my road rage is getting behind a vehicle that is bigger than me. I don't care if we're going 75 down the interstate, I have to get around them. I cannot follow. So this one day, a few years ago, I was following this semi down the interstate. And I decided on this particular day that I was going to stay behind this semi instead of passing him, just to try to figure out what it is that I have against following something that's bigger than me. So I stayed there, and I started to contemplate why it is that I'm opposed to following. And I realized that I like to be able to see where I'm going. And I don't like obstacles getting in my way. So then I started listing some of those obstacles: self-centeredness, pride, sins of the human nature. And all too quick, I had to change lanes because I hated reminding myself of all the obstacles that have been keeping me from fully experiencing a life lived for Christ. Fully experiencing the relationship that God so deserves of me. Now, have you ever noticed that when things are going really, really good in your life, that it seems easier to let those obstacles, those things that are keeping us from experiencing a life filled with Christ, that these obstacles start to take control of us? But when things are going a little rough and we turn to questioning God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And you're asking for his presence in your life. Have you ever noticed that? When things are going good, it's easy to let those obstacles start to creep in. But when those obstacles creep in, well, then we start blaming and wanting to know why God could allow this to happen. Contemporary Christian musician Big Daddy Weave has a song that's titled Redeemed. Listen to these lyrics. It says, "Seems like all I can see was a struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this going to last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, 'Son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed, you've set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, 'Child, lift up your head,' I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, because his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. So I'll shake off these chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed." Big Daddy Weave's words are words of comfort to us, knowing that when we are redeemed, that we can get rid of all the chains that weigh us down. We can get rid of the obstacles, that we don't have to carry around the guilt and the shame of all those things that's been keeping us from living a life filled with Christ. Isaiah also speaks words of comfort to us today. It was written in a time when Judah still had 100 years of trouble before Jerusalem would fall, and then another 70 years of exile. So God tells Isaiah to speak tenderly and to comfort Jerusalem. The seeds of comfort may take root in the soil of adversity. And when your life seems to be falling apart, ask God tenderly. Ask God to comfort you. Now, you may not escape adversity, but you may find God's comfort as you face it. And sometimes, however, the only comfort we have is in the knowledge that someday we will be with God. Appreciate the comfort and the encouragement that's found in His Word, His presence, and in His people. Verse 3 talks about preparing a straight highway. That means removing the obstacles and rolling out the red carpet for the coming of the Lord. The desert is this picture of life's trials and sufferings, and we're not immune to these, but our faith needs not to be hindered. Isaiah told the people to prepare to see God work. Prepare to see God work when we get out of the way and when we open ourselves up. It's amazing what God can do in us and through us. John the Baptist used these same words from Isaiah starting at verse 3. It says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all mankind together will see it." What I hear God saying here is that throughout our lives, there's going to be times that we feel alone. We feel like we're wandering aimlessly in the desert. Or maybe there will be times that persons are stuck in the valleys, or life just gets too rough. Gets too tough, and they don't think that they have anywhere to turn and don't know where to go. The terrain is just too rough for us to get over it. It is at these times that we have to open our hearts and be willing to follow the paths that God has set out for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." When obstacles seem to be too big, and we don't think that we can change lanes to get around them, God wants us to lean on Him, and He promises to make those paths straight for us. To make the path a little easier, we don't have to go through this alone. Of course, people don't turn their livestock out in pastures like they used to anymore. But I can remember growing up, you'd be driving out through the countryside, and you'd see all these paths that the cows and the horses had worn through the pastures, across the rough terrain. And I always wondered why they continue to follow the same path. Time and time again. Or maybe you've gone on a trail ride that you can go on vacations or whatever anymore. And you don't even have to really guide the horse because it knows exactly where to go. And you think, why? Why does this horse just know the right path? Why do these cattle take the same path through the pasture? Well, it's because they have this sense, a sense to follow the path of least resistance, a path that is familiar to them. Growing up as a kid, we had a couple of horses. And I remember this one time my brother and I were leading the horses back up to the barn. And we chose to take the path that the horses had worn down. And I was leading the second horse, and my brother had the horse in front, and mine was a little Shetland pony named Stormy. I could stand on her back and pick cherries or peaches and never have a saddle or a bridle on her. She just was gentle. But this particular time I was leading her second, and Sox was the horse in front of us, and he decided to relieve himself on the path. Well, it just so happened that he chose over top of a yellow jacket's hole. They, of course, all came out, and I had hundreds of bee stings all over. And, of course, this was back when it was on a Sunday, and my mom, of course, rushed me immediately to, not to the ER, but believe it or not, Reynolds still had a doctor that practiced out of his own home. So she rushed me. I can't even remember what the doctor's name was. But anyway, we rushed over, and of course I got a shot. But why did we feel that we needed to follow the path that was the easiest? Why did we not take a little bit more difficult time path? As Christians, we too have this same sense as cows and horses of following the same path. We have this sense of taking the path of least resistance. And it's called God. And we, when we have faith, and when we allow Him to enter our lives and to have control, control that He will lead us on the paths of righteousness. And it's when we start to wander from this path that we stumble and that we're going to fall. In our scripture from Mark, we hear about Bartimaeus, who we read was a blind beggar. And beggars were a common sight in most towns. Most occupations of that day required physical labor. And anyone with a crippling disease or some kind of disability, such as blindness, somebody who was disadvantaged, was usually forced to beg for their existence. And even though God's laws commanded the town folk to take care of these people, blindness was considered a curse for a sin. And Jesus refuted this idea when he reached out to heal the blind. A lot of people didn't want to even associate with anybody who was cursed by a sin in their mind. And all his life, Bartimaeus had to rely on others to guide him. But because many of them saw him as being cursed, few would take the time of day to even acknowledge Bartimaeus. He was forced to feel his way around, and oftentimes running into obstacles, stumbling over rocks in the road. And he didn't possess that same sense that cattle and horses have. And I can imagine that oftentimes he would just spend the night out at the city gates on the edge of town, just because it was easier than trying to find his way back home and facing the same obstacles of getting to the gates the next day where he could beg once again. But when we look at this story of Bartimaeus, we realize that Jesus didn't physically touch him in any way, but it was his faith in the Son of God that restored Bartimaeus' sight. Jesus removed the obstacles in Bartimaeus' life so that he no longer had to go about feeling his way through life, no longer stumbling over the rocks in the road, no longer having to beg for his existence. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And we need to have that same sense of faith that God can take away all those obstacles that stand in our way, the obstacles that's keeping us from having the kind of relationship with our Savior that we so desire. Are we going to stumble at times? You bet. Are we going to be blinded by the sin at times? You bet. Are we going to be stuck behind a semi at times? You bet. But our faith will help us to see through those obstacles. Our faith is going to help us to change the course, to change lanes that God set before us. Jesus has paved the way for us. He came so that we might live. He came so that we could have an easier way. In 2017, I attended a four-day conference called Ninja Selling, and I sell real estate, and so it was on best practices of selling real estate. But one of the lessons that I took from that conference was this, that if you surround yourselves with positive people and positive activities, then positive things are going to happen in your life. So today we need to surround ourselves with other faithful servants and step back and just see what God can do in your life. The impact that you can have on someone else's life. And yes, sometimes that's going to mean that you have to change course. You have to change lanes and go around or over any obstacles that's standing in your way. Next week starts Lent, believe it or not. Here it just seems like we just finished Christmas. But next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It's a time for us to examine our lives and to find those things, those obstacles that are keeping us from fully experiencing the love of Christ shown to us when God sent His Son to die on the cross so that we might live. Get out of the way and let Jesus take the wheel. Get out of the way and let God remove any obstacles. Get out of the way so that you can fully experience a life lived for Christ. Last week in a Sunday school class that I attended, the lesson was on contentment. And one of the quotes from the class said this, "Be content. Do not be content with what you have." No, I'm saying that wrong again. Be content with what you have, but not with who you are. Be content with what you have, but not with who you are. When we get out of the way, and when we remove the obstacles that get in the way of fully experiencing Christ, our lives will change and we will become the person that God has intended us to be. Always growing. Always learning new things. Father God, we thank You for this day again. We thank You for this message. Father, we just pray that as we leave here today, again, that we take the Word with us. That as we meet and greet our family and our friends out on the street or wherever we're going to have lunch today, that they'll know that we were in God's house, because they can see it in our souls. Help us to be the hands and the feet in our communities, in our families, in our groups. Help us to be the hands and the feet to share Your word. Amen.